பூர்ணமத்பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். வி ஸ்டார்டட் தி டிஸ்கஷன் ஆன் தி மேரேஜ் ரிச்சுவல் இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் அண்ட் வி மென்ஷன்ட் the names of 8 different types of marriages as given in the shastras. We have to be careful. We are only giving the concept of marriage as given in our tradition, as given in the shastras. Today's situations are not discussed here at all. There is no comparison also. This is for our information how our shastras have treated this institution of marriage in our tradition. And while talking about that, we mentioned that there are 8 different types of marriage, Ashtavidha Vivahas, and they are graded according to their superiority. And the most important thing in the Vivaham is, first one is Kanyakadanam. Kanyakadanam means it's a gift. So when there is a danam, then there should be a gift, which is here in this case a kanyaka, a girl, and there should be a giver of the gift, and there should be also a receiver of the gift. And the object of gift here is the girl, the bride, and the gift is decided by the giver, namely the parent, who not only decides the gift and also he decides the recipient. So parent is kanyayaha pita, he is the giver. And the gift is given as decided by the giver. So the ideal kanyakadanam is one where the father decides who the recipient of the gift should be, according to the shastras. So it should be done in such a way the gift is used properly. That is, you know, in Tamil there is a saying, you know, you cannot give a garland of flowers should not be given to a monkey. One cannot just give away one's daughter to some guy who is not deserving, who is not qualified. Because the aim of marriage is for dharma praja abhivritti. So that's what the aim for the marriage is. So one should not just use this occasion as a casual occasion or something which is unfit to be given as a gift. To such a person one should not give. So the first criterion, so lesser is decided by the parent, then the shastra declares that marriage as inferior. Inferior will be the marriage. So there is a gradation of various types of marriages based on how the kanyakadanam is given. And what gift is given is, it is freely given. So nothing in return should be expected. If anything in return is expected, then that becomes a business. It's a transaction. Whereas in this case, in Kanyakadanam, this gift is given without expecting anything in return from the bridegroom's side. So any marriage where the father is not the decider, father or the parent, is not the decider or giver, and if anything in return is also got, that is considered an inferior marriage or a secondary marriage only. And today's marriage is not in any of the categories that we are going to mention now, the 8 categories that we mentioned. Today's marriage is not in any of them, because there is the girl is given away in marriage, along with that money is also given away in marriage. So there is this divorce and there is this dowry and all those things. So these are all not included in the 8 types of marriages as given in the shastras. So this today's marriage is totally a different this thing. So now let us see the 8 different types of marriages as we discussed in the last class individually. First, let's take, we'll start from the worst case and go to the best case, because it is easy to discuss the worst case and just to discount them. So too much details need not have to be given. And among the 8 different types of marriage that we announced last time, the first one in the lowest category is the paishacha vivaha. Paishacha vivaha means it's considered worst in the series, in the 8 different types of marriages, paishacha vivaha, where the girl is forcibly abducted without the knowledge of the parent and without the consent of the girl also. So this guy comes, he forcibly takes away the girl and forces her into a marriage with him without the knowledge of the parent. So this is considered the worst type. So this is called paishacha vivaha. And the worst category, the next one, from worst to the next one, worst, is the rakshasa vivaha, where here also the girl is taken away forcibly without the knowledge of the parents, but the girl supports it. The girl is in agreement, but father is not the giver. And because father refuses, this guy takes her away forcibly with the consent of the girl. For example, if you take in Puranas, when Krishna got married to Rukmini, Rukmini's brother Rukmi, he didn't want to give her away in marriage to Krishna. He wanted to give her in marriage to Shishupala. Whereas Krishna came, but Rukmini wanted to marry only Krishna. So Krishna had to come and he just took her away with her consent, without the consent of the parent. So this is called Rakshasa Vivaha. And the third one is Asura Vivaha, where the father gives away the daughter in marriage in return for monetary benefit. That is, he is almost selling the girl. That is called Asura Vivaha. And the fourth one is called Gandharva Vivaha, which is not good in the Shastras. So we had the worst, which is Paishacha Vivaha. The worst one is Rakshasa Vivaha. Bad one is Asura Vivaha. And the not good one, because we have to give 4 categories, because we said 4. So Gandharva Vivaha, where it is, we can call it the love marriage of today. So the girl and the boy, they marry without the knowledge of the parent. So that is considered not good also. It is the Gandharva Vivaha. So the gift itself walks away, as it were. So the girl to be given as a gift, the gift itself walks away with the boy. They both liked each other, and this is called Gandharva Vivaha. So this is also not approved by the scripture, even though this has been happening. All the 4 are not supposed to be good, supposed to be inferior types of marriages. And there are 4 other marriages, types of marriages. And among them, the Daiva Vivaha is one, where the girl is given away in marriage to a priest for the priest to perform an yajna for the father in return. The father wants to do some yajna, which he cannot do himself. So he needs a priest to do that. And he doesn't have enough resources or anything to give to the priest. So he gives his daughter away in marriage to that priest. That is called the Daiva Vivaha. This is also only inferior compared to the Brahma Vivaha, which we are going to see later. And the next type of Vivaha in the order of gradation is Arsha Vivaha, where the father, he needs material, lot of materials, money, so many things for conducting an yajna. He may need cows, he may need land, he may need money. So he is giving away the girl in marriage to somebody who can give this person all these things, material and all that thing. So it is not quite a dhanam, because he gives away the in marriage in return for all these things. So this is more like a business only, and this is what this person is giving. And so this is called Arsha Vivaha. And the next type of Vivaha is called Prajapatya Vivaha, where the father puts lot of conditions for the marriage. For example, when Bhishma's father, Santanu, was to be married to Matsyaganti, that fisherwoman, her father put lot of conditions there. He said, only her child has to become the king. Bhishma should give up kingdom. So only then he will get her married to Santanu, Bhishma's father. So these are all conditions, because he says the my kulam, the kulam, that is the lineage born out of this girl and that man, that should be the one. So kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharma sanatana. So he is telling all those things. So he is more interested in the praja, the child, the offspring that would come out of this marriage. So this is called prajapatya vivaha, and the highest type of vivaha is called brahma vivaha, which is considered most ideal, where there are no conditions at all. The ideal boy by choice by the parent, and the dhanam, kanyaka dhanam, is given to that boy under all conditions as approved by the shastras, and such a marriage is called brahma vivaha. Today such marriages are also there happening, you know, very much, even though we have a few other problems like the dowry and all, which we will talk about subsequently. So this is brahma vivaha, where the parent decides who will be the appropriate recipient of the girl, who is going to be the dhanam, the gift, and then conducts the marriage according to the shastras. So these are the 8 different types of marriages as given in the shastras. So let us not try to interpolate them with respect to today's marriage system, which has changed quite a lot based on so many things. But this is for the sake of our understanding how our shastras treated our marriage system. Now, incidentally, we have to last webinar, people asked me the question how the dowry system came in this marriage. I told at that time that I will address it when we talk about the actual marriage ritual. So I will take that opportunity to talk about it very briefly here. How did the dowry system come about? Is it given in the shastras? And, you know, is it appropriate? So all these questions, they normally come to our mind. The dowry system is in a mutilated form of what was the intent originally for a noble cause, got mutilated by the society in the system, and that has become a social evil in marriages. So according to the shastras, whenever any dhanam is given, whatever gift is given to anybody, gold also should be given along with that dhanam. That is what normally, for example, when people give a godhanam, a cow is given as a gift, a bhumi dhanam, land is given as a gift, or even tambura. Along with that, they normally keep a gold coin, because those days only they had gold coins for transaction. These days only we have copper coins, aluminum coins, all kinds of coins we have. Those days they had only mostly gold coins. So along with the gift, along with what is offered as dhanam, they gave a gold coin also as a gift. That is what is given, that is supposed to be given. So even after giving food to somebody, they give a bhojana dakshina. They give food. At the end of that thing, they give some dakshina to them. So this is, so any dhanam that is given, they normally give along with that some gold. So when kanyaka dhanam, when the girl is given away in marriage as a dhanam, there also there is this small gold or something coin is given. That is given according to the choice of the giver, namely the parent. It cannot be demanded by the person who receives the dhanam, but it is given as a tradition, as given in the shastras, decided by the giver. He may give whatever may be the amount, based on the recipient and based on his affordability, based on his own liking. Shastra prescribes this. That is all it is. But that got mutilated and that became vara dakshina. So to the dowry, where the vara, that is namely the boy, is given a dakshina for receiving this dhanam, and that number people started to, you know, they made it so inappropriate that it became a very social evil in our system, which is very bad. And also in the wedding, there is one portion which we are going to also talk about later at all. So now when we give the girl away in marriage, along with the girl, the parents of the girl, they give what is known as Shri Dhanam. Shri Dhanam, these are all gifts. When you give the girl away in marriage to go to another house, then you give lot of gifts along with the girl to take with her. There are so many things they want to give, parents want to give her based on their own affordability, their own liking, whatever they can, they want to give. It is according to their own wish, not given by the Shastras. They want to give. This is called Shri Dhanam. And actually there are mantras where the boy will say after the marriage to load all the Shri Dhanam, whatever is given to the girl by the parents, into the cart, because those days they had bullock carts, which will take the girl along with the boy after marriage to the boy's house. So the boy will say, please take care to load all the Shri Dhanam on the cart, because whatever is given as a gift by the parents with love, he doesn't want to leave anything back, because number one, it will be considered as an insult, and number two, they will be all sentimental to the girl. So instead of offending the girl, he wants to take care that whatever is offered to the girl as gift by the parents should be taken with him. So there are mantras where the boy will instruct all the things to be loaded in the cart. So this is called the Shri Dhanam, and later this became Sri Dhanam and all those things in Tamil. And then this became a demand. What are the things should be given? People, I hear in communities, you know, people have demand crores of rupees. They want Mercedes cars and this and that. This has become really crazy. Such a socially, you know, most evil system has crept into the system for some unknown reason. But that is exploitation simply, and they are all bad things that has crept into that. Whereas Shastras never prescribed any of these things at all in its system. So that should clarify our doubts about the dowry system and how this has been brought into the marriage institution. All those things are all really bad things that has happened over a period of time. Whatever was originally given as a varadakshina got mutilated into this dowry system. And now the next question topic would be, what are the majority of rituals? They are all conducted during the marriage. And most of these rituals, they are all centered around the girl. So either the mantras are recited by the priest or by the bridegroom, the boy, or the girl's father. All those things, all those mantras, they are mostly centered around the girl only. Now, we may ask the question, why not they should be centered around the boy? Because why should be centered around the girl only? And these mantras, some mantras are regarding the purificatory rites for the girl. She should be free from all diseases, all kinds of problems, whatever it is. These are all purificatory mantras, some of them. And some mantras are in the form of advice to the girl, because she is now going to take up a new life. She is going to be in the new environment, in the new house, the new person. So lot of mantras as in the form of advice to the girl. And some mantras are in the form of prayers for the welfare of the girl and the boy together in marriage, in their marriage. Now the question naturally will be, if you say that you want to do these mantras, recite the mantras for the purification of the girl, who is going to purify the boy? Why not purification of the boy? So is there not a partiality? All those questions would come. And normally, the purification of the boy is done during the Upanayana ceremony. I told at that time itself, the Kalyanam, the marriage part of the girl, is similar to the Upanayanam part of the boy. And the age also is nearly same. The Kanyaka Dhanam, we told that at the age of 8, she is called the Gauri. Normally, they recite the Gauri Kalyanam. So at the age of 8, she can get married. The Kanyaka is at the age of 10, and the boy also gets his Upanayanam 7 to 8, 9, 10 around that time. So whatever are the purificatory rites for the boy done during the Upanayanam is done to the girl now. So the boy is purified during Upanayana ceremony, and the girl is purified during the Kanyaka Dhanam ceremony, that is the marriage ceremony. So that is the thing. And who is the guru for this girl for the Upanayanam? The teacher was the father who gave Brahmopadesham, who gave the Gayatri Mantra to the boy. And who is the guru for this girl? If Upanayanam is Kalyanam is considered to be like Upanayanam, who is the guru here? According to the Shastras, the Patihi, the husband, he is supposed to be acting as the guru in the place of guru, and the girl is supposed to be in the place of the Shishya. she is the disciple and the husband is supposed to be the guru. See, all those days, those boys were all eligible to be gurus because they learned the shastras in the Gurukulam and they became proficient in our scriptures and they can be guru and then get, you know, act as guru and also behave like a guru. Today, those things don't even happen. So let us not consider those things now today in today's marriage system. Unless the person is learned in the scriptures and our traditions, such people cannot be guru. So in that, so those days, the person is expected to be learned. They won't give away the daughter in marriage to some guy who is a useless guy. So they will try to give away a marriage in marriage to a person who not only has scriptural knowledge, but also worldly knowledge, who will be able to conduct the family and keep the daughter very well. So he acts as the guru. And we can then ask the question, how the boy deserves to be a guru. He deserves to be a guru because he has gone through the Gurukula system and he has learned all these things from the scriptures and he will not have raga dvesha at all. He won't be a raga dvesha yukta purushaha, but he will be a learned boy. So the pati, so he won't exploit the girl. He will take care of her and give her the proper place in the family, in society, and also treat her with dignity. Actually, when Kuchela was the poorest of the poor, one can think of so many children. And he calls his wife as Kalyani. Kalyani, the person who is all auspicious, with such a great affection and respect and dignity, he addresses her. So such a kind of system was there those days. When a person is a learned person in scriptures, he learns to treat the wife also with dignity and respect. And that is why he can be now eligible to be a guru. So he is fit to be given the status of a guru. And the girl, now she has the, as in the Upanayanam, the father was the guru and the son learned from the father. Here in the marriage system, the husband acts as a guru and the girl learns from him a lot of things that are given in the scriptures. And also there is this age for the Upanayanam and the age for the marriage. And we told in the last this thing itself, Ashtavarsha Bhaved Gauri. The one who is 8 years old, she is called a Gauri. Navavarsha to Rohini. So if she is 9 years, she is called Rohini. And Dashavarshat Kanya Syatem, she is called a Kanyaka when her age is 10. So that is why it is Kanyaka Dhanam at the age of 10 or Gauri Kalyanam at the age of 8. Whatever the thing is, the husband is considered to be the guru and the girl is supposed to be the Sishya during this thing. And there is no ritual performed by the girl. All the rituals are performed by the husband or the father, the girl's father or father. Father's father does only up to this, the Vratam part of it. After that, only the son, that boy does, or the girl's father does. So all the rituals, they are all done by these two only, but not by the girl, by herself, because she is not initiated to the Upanayana ceremony with all the other things for doing the ritualistic portion. But her portion is to be with the husband and then start doing everything along with him as injected in the shastras. And there is no inferiority or superiority between the girl and the boy. Both are actually like, they have to behave like friends only. There is no superiority, inferiority at all. So she is called Saha Dharma Charini. The one who is going to follow the Dharma along with him. So they need not go to, you know, any other thing and all that thing for how, whether she will be treated inferior and all that thing. She is considered Saha Dharmacharini. Both are supposed to uphold the dharmic values together. She should support him in whatever way she can. And he should stand by her in whatever way he can, so that both will be having a mutual respect and mutual acknowledgement of each other in both good and bad times and live together as one unit. That is our marriage system. So, Bharta Devam, Gurur Bharta, Karma Tirtha Vratanicha. That's what it is all. Tasmat Sarvam Parityajyam Patimekam Samacharet. This is, there's a beautiful shloka. Bharata is considered Daivam. Daivam in the sense what? Like a guru. He is the one who is supposed to teach her dharma dharma because she is young. He has finished his education. So he should be in a position to teach what is given in the scriptures according to our dharmic values. And guru is Bharata. Bharata is husband. So karma tirtha vratani cha. Here all this karma as given in the Vedic rituals. And this karma will give what? Chitta Shuddhi to her. Here she will, by doing, supporting the husband in taking care of all the affairs of the family, doing it the sense of sacrifice as an offering to the Lord. By doing so, she gets Chitta Shuddhi, purity of the mind. By performing rituals, he gets Chitta Shuddhi. So both of them become eligible to follow Jnana Marga, and both of them become eligible to get moksha. So karma is for that things, Chitta Shuddhi, and Tirtha Vratani, going together for all the Tirthas, for various places. They go through all the dharmic things together, and all the Vratas they observe, whatever vows and all penances they observe together. So she can do all that thing. She has to patim ekam samacharet. She has to follow the husband in terms of all following all dharmic values, because he is learned and he should be able to guide her properly. So girl's chitta shuddhi, purity of mind, comes through support to the husband. And the boy's chitta shuddhi comes out of performance of rituals. Both of them get Chitta Shuddhi ultimately, and both become eligible for Atma Jnana. Because normally people think, if he does only ritual, he will only go to moksha. How the girl will go to moksha? No. By her performing all the actions according to given in the scriptures, supporting whatever he does, and him doing all the rituals as given in the scriptures, both get Chitta Shuddhi and both can go to Jnana Marga and finally get moksha. And supported by some of the rituals, they are also common, you know, there are some common rituals in the Upanayanam, some of them same thing in the marriage also. For example, this Maunji Bandhanam, which I spoke about briefly during our Upanayana ceremony, where they put a belt, a mekala, around the waist of the girl. There also it was put during Upanayanam on the waist of the boy, that one. And Asmarohanam, where the boy stands on a stone. And here Asmaiva Stirobhava. So you stand on this Atishte Mamasma. See, the stand up on this stone and then be firm like that stone. So there are mantras for all that. During the Upanayanam, the boy did this. During the marriage, the girl does that. So there are common rituals, both for the boy and the girl, between the Upanayanam and marriage rituals. All those things, they are all there. So the common elements are there between these two. And the actual ceremony of marriage, so there are so many things are, you know, steps are there during the ceremony. Some of them given in the Vedas, in the Shruti, and some of them, they have come out of practice. So there are, some of them are Vaidika ceremonies given in the scriptures. Some of them are Laukika ceremonies, which just was brought about as a practice. So in the, so many of those things, you know, in the Vribdha Vivahara or Stri Vivahara, lot of those things, you know, the Smritis and the Shruti, you know, the Vedas, the all these things, the scriptures, they give sutras. There are so many mantras for various these things. So Vivahe cha, Smashane cha. So Vriddhanam Strinam cha, Vachanam Kuryuhu. There is a statement. So in the affairs of marriage and in the affairs of death also, death ceremonies, death rituals and all, you listen to the words of Vriddhas, aged people, and also the Stris, the ladies. They will know. You don't have to go into any Shastras or anything. So there are a lot of those things which are all mostly come out of practice. And through this practice, these people, they will know, the aged Stri, aged lady of the house, or aged person of the house, they will know. So go and ask them, whatever they say, you do. That's what the Shastra itself say. Don't ask whether they have learned Vedas or not. Those questions you should not ask. They have been there in the system. They have seen people following it. So that's what they will be able to tell, that we can follow. For example, even in South Indian marriages, there are certain customs which are very interesting. They have got, you know, the boy and girl will be sitting, you know, facing each other, and the girl will take some, you know, like papad, appadam, and then she will go and break it on his head, and he will do on her head. These are some of the things. And there is this nalang, where they will have some coconut, and they will roll each, you know, each one will roll. There is some kind of ritual, and there is also these rice balls made up of various colors. Some of them will be green, some of them will be red, pachapudi they call it. So they take all these things, put around. These are all not Vaidika ceremonies. These are not given in the scriptures. They are all Laukika ceremonies which have been brought into the tradition by the people over a period of time. So such things are also there as part of the marriage, which are more social. And more, you know, where the boy and girl who do not know each other up to this point. Now, to make them familiar with each other, they have put some of those, some ceremonies where they are put in a unjal, where they sit together, and all these things like play, games. So, essentially, to make them familiar with each other, they have brought some of those things which have the love. That is why marriage is more a social function. Even though we have got a lot of Vaidika elements in the marriage with respect to so many prayers and the ritual portion, there are a lot of social aspirations in the marriage. Whereas if you take Upanayanam, it is purely Vaidika ceremony. Whereas here, marriage is more social and more interesting things are there, essential to make the boy and, because two lives are coming together, to make them familiar with each other. And the first Laukika karma in the marriage system is what is known as Nischetambula. So Nischetartham or whatever it is, this is called Vagdanam. That is, the word is given. Yes, I am going to give away my son or daughter in marriage to this so-and-so person. So this is a ritual where the assurance is given in presence of so many people. Yes, I am going to give away so-and-so in marriage. So the pravaram is given. This boy, whose father is this, whose grandfather is this, who is from this particular lineage, all those things are given for the boy. Same thing, similar thing is given to the girl, so that such and such a person, so there should be no doubt later. There can be one Subramaniam and there could be some other, you know, some girl, some, you know, it is not that some, this is Subramaniam of so-and-so's son, so-and-so's grandson. So up to three generations, they make sure that the same guy is the person who is going to be given away in marriage, because those days it is all word of mouth. There is no contract, nothing like somebody signed a paper. So these are all word of mouth. So they in the assembly of so many elderly people of both the communities, both the families, this such a word is given. So this is called Nischetartham, Betrothal ceremony or whatever one can call it. This is mostly a Laukika ceremony only, even though it is done with a priest, but essentially it is a kind of a, yeah, we can call it maybe an agreement or whatever it is. Both the families, they value each other's words, and that is how it is done. And the next one is a welcome ceremony of the boy. Normally the Nischitartham is done the previous day, and the welcome ceremony of the boy, and that is called Janavasam. Janavas is another name in familiar. I'm mostly bringing out the steps which are in the South Indian Tamil marriage, because that has more rituals that I can relate to. So this is Janavasam. This Janavasam also is a very interesting name. See, Janu essentially refers up to the portion of the knee, whatever it is, of person. And as a brahmachari, he was wearing dress only up to that place. And now, after marriage, he is going to now wear a full set of clothes. Up to now, he was not wearing that. And now he is going to wear clothes which will cover up his ankle and all. So this is the first time he is going to get dressed so nicely. And so with that, after dressing up, so he is now taken in a procession, in an open car, closed car, whatever it is that changes. Those days they used to have the old Rolls Royce car where somebody has to crank up the starter so that at every point it will stop and somebody has to crank it up for it to start. So it was a lot of fun. So people, you know, the boy is put in the car and taken in as a procession, so that so and so is the person who is now going to get married to such and such a girl. So the entire village knows, the entire community knows. So he's, in those days cars were not there, they will take him maybe in a bulla cart or whatever it is, or a procession. This all will be done starting from a temple. So all those things were all done, essentially welcoming the boy for the marriage ritual. and also make the boy known to the community who is the person who is going to marry, get married to this girl. And after this initial laukika karmas, this which are not in the Vedic, in the scriptures, then we have to now go into the actual ritualistic portion. We will not go into the details of the mantra, except that we will only tell what are the various sections, steps involved, and what they mean. And the first one is called Ankurarpanam. Ankurarpanam, in Tamil they call it this Paligai. Palika, you know, they have got this Navadanyas, all the 9 different types of grains, and they have got a small pot, you know, earthenware pot, and it will have some dirt or mud inside that, and they will seed, and they will put seed in that, and all these ladies, elderly ladies, they will come and, you know, sprinkle water in that. It is a very symbolic karma. It's a ritual. It's a very, very symbolic karma. As the seeds grow, the marriage also should grow very well between them. So this boy and girl, so symbolically, so they try to do this ritual, as this is called Ankurarpana, because they want prayers, they want to recite prayers for the growth of the boy and girl in the marriage, as the seeds will grow, sprout and grow. And the next ritual is called Pratisara Bandham. Pratisara Bandham is they tie a string around the right hand of the boy or the left hand of the girl, and they also have how many times the string should be wound. There are 9 times and all, they have got numbers. This is called a raksha, a protection for the boy and girl from all evil forces, so that the marriage that is now going to be conducted cannot be stopped by any such thing, and also for any ashaucha. Ashaucham, for example, if something happens, some bad thing happens, somebody died. Now the marriage is now firmed up, the ritual is going to happen. And once this Pratisara Bandham is done, after doing this particular ceremony, then any ashaucham that might come in the family will not affect the boy. So that the other girl, whatever it is, so that the marriage can continue without stopping. So that's what they put it. So ashaucham, even if it comes in the thing, it will not... Normally, even when they perform big yagas, many yagas and all yagyas, they may run for several days. Some of them 3-month yagas, some of them maybe those days they use your samvatsara yagas, which go for a lot of time, years and all that. So when such sankalpas are done for the performance of such an involved ritual, they do this particular ceremony so that if anything happens in between, it will not affect the karta who will do the yagya. He will be able to complete it. So they normally do it, you know, maybe they can have a gold string or a silver string for the raksha. They tie it around this thing, and it's a thread. So they do it so many times. So they have mantras. They will recite, you know, Trayambakam Vijayamage Sugandhim Putti Vardhanam kind of mantras, or Brihat Samakshatra Vrithi. There are mantras for that. They will recite that mantras and also tie this so that he is protected, she is protected for the ritual to happen without any problem. Then the next step is called Varapreshanam. Varapreshanam, before we go into the ritual, let us also see the context. See, most of the wedding those days that were all occurring, that were the mantras are from the Rig Veda mantras. And in the Rig Veda mantra, there is a context of the marriage of the daughter of Surya Devata. The daughter of Surya Devata is called Surya. Surya is the Suryan. Surya, this Aditya, the sun god, and his daughter is Surya Dirgam, long. Yeah, so she is the god Surya. So Surya's putri Surya. So that's Surya, and the moon god Soma. He wanted to marry her, but he didn't want to marry her in the Gandharva type of marriage. So what he did, he sent a message to the sun god through proper people, and he tells them what kind of language they should go and use to Surya Devata, so that when they go and ask his daughter in marriage for the moon god, how they should present themselves, how they should talk to him, what language they should use. So all those things, how respectfully they should submit, all these things are given in the mantras. There are 2 mantras particularly in this Varapreshanam. One is how the moon god Soma Devata wanted to send somebody to seek the daughter of Surya Devata in marriage. So how they should present themselves, one set of mantras for that. And the next set of mantras is a prayer for all devatas, for all the devatas, for a successful wedding. So the moon god makes a prayer to all the devatas for the successful wedding. The girl should be good. So it is Soma Surya Vivaha. So this is the marriage of moon god and Surya, the daughter of Surya Devata. So for that, how that mantra should go. So there are a lot of Rigveda mantras, they are all used there. So these are all used when? Long ago. So, but even today, the same mantras are used in our marriage system. So during Varaprashanam, the same set of mantras are used. They are applied today also because both are common prayers. But those days, there is no messenger. The messenger was sent to sun god. Here also today, you know, symbolically, it is as if going and seeking the girl's hand in marriage. So sending people to do that. So such a ritual, and also prayer to all the devatas for the successful conduct of the wedding. So even though this context is only then, but even today it is being followed. Then there are two laukika karmas. These are not Vedic karmas. Laukika karmas, they are followed. One is the exchange of garlands. There is no mantras or anything for that. The girl puts her garland on the boy's shoulders, and the boy puts his garland on them. And there is a significance for this. The mala is made, the garland is made up of flowers. And the flowers, they have got fragrance. That is, we call it vasanas. The mala, the garland has got flowers, which have vasanas, the fragrance. And the boy, he comes with his own vasanas based on his karma. Whatever previous janma he was and all, he has his own vasanas. So he comes with that. And the girl comes with her own vasanas. And now, if they stick to each other's vasanas only, then how their lot will be in a married life? We don't know how it is going to be. Whereas, according to this ritual, they exchange the garlands, means they are exchanging their vasanas. That means they are trying to acknowledge each other's vasanas and try to adjust themselves so that they will be able to conduct the marriage. They will be able to live together successfully. Otherwise, each one, you know, we know a lot of houses where the husband wants to see only this TV show, wife wants to see some other TV show. What they do then? Each ends up having two different TVs and sit in two different rooms and watch TVs separately. Why marry them at all? So these are all systems which happen like that. Whereas when they acknowledge that, yes, wife is an individual. She has her own likes and dislikes. She has her vasanas. This person is an individual. His own likes and dislikes, his vasanas. But in a marriage system, when they have to live together as one unit, there should be sharing. There should be acknowledging of. So if she is interested in seeing this show now, so be it. At that time, do something else. You don't have to unnecessarily go and argue with her. Same thing with her too. So I just only give this example in everything. So there should be an adjustment. There should be a lot of compromises many times, because the marriage and institution should succeed. For that, lot of allowances should be given. Lot of understanding and compromises may have to be made, but they should do that. So this is one ceremony, the exchange of garlands. And the another ceremony is called this unjal. Unjal, they sit in a swing together. Where they should sit, she should sit on the left side, right side. There are so many these things, because for this unjal, for when they are doing this abhishekam and all, when they are doing asirvadam, she is supposed to be standing on the other side, so the left side. Other times they will be staying on the right side. So these are a lot of practices are there for all of them. So now in the unjal, if you take this, unjal has got a plank, and they sit in the plank. And the plank, it swings. And the plank is connected to some support at the roof through two chains. The chains, they are, you know, supporting. They are connected to the roof. And the support above, that is stationary. And the plank with the chain and the boy and the girl, they swing. So now the life plank is now plank is the plank of life, the plank of life for them, for both of them, they are together now. So it is not stationary, it is moving, and the when the plank as it swings, it will have ups and downs. So there could be successes in life, there could be failures in life, you know, all those things, ups and downs can be there. There could be healthy conditions, there could be disease conditions in life, all those things can be have. So we should be together under any circumstance. They are sitting in the plank together, the plank of life. And now the life is linked by what? By the chain. And the chain refers to the karma. And the karma is responsible for ups and downs. Whatever karma we do, that is responsible for our ups and downs. So without blaming each other, don't point fingers at each other. We are doing this karma together and all. Outcome could be this palam or that palam. So don't blame at each other. So the plank of life is now supported by what? By the shaft at the top, which is stationary. So that is not moving. So this is hanging from the shaft. Like what? That is like the Brahman. That is like the silent witness. So that is the support for everything. So realize, even though your life, your plank of life is swinging with ups and downs and all, it is supported by Brahman. So even the very act of marriage, even the life itself, we should understand all the time these swings can be there, but the support is Brahman. Always the knowledge should be on that support. Focus should be on that support, so that life, the ups and downs of life, will not deter us from our goal of seeking ultimately moksha. So even a symbolic ceremony like this communicates to us the highest truth of Vedanta. And the next step is the Kanyaka Dhanam. So now Kanyaka Dhanam is the girl's father gives away the daughter as a dhanam to the receiver, namely the boy. So the receiver, when he is giving as dhanam, again the scriptures teach us how one should give this. It should be given with an attitude of arpanam to the Lord, Ishwara arpana buddhi. So the person should have that attitude, that whatever he is giving away is given as an offering to the Lord. So here, the boy who is the receiver, when the girl is given away in marriage to him, he is portrayed as the very Lord Mahavishnu himself, to whom the giver, namely the father, offers the daughter as dana. So as an arpanam. So that is what he is doing. So symbolically, the boy is seated on a place, and then the father, even though he is elderly to the boy, even though he may be more learned, more experienced, maybe, you know, very wealthy, whatever it is, even that father, he will wash the feet of the boy. The boy is not a boy here. Boy is like Mahavishnu. He is like Mahavishnu Surupaha. So to that boy, he will wash his feet, and then he will do puja, pada puja to that boy, to the feet, so that it is all, he is now visualized as Lord Mahavishnu himself, to whom he is giving the Mahalakshmi, his daughter, in marriage. So for that, this Kanyaka Dhanam, before that, there is a step where the father will wash the feet of the son-in-law. So people will always ask, oh, he is so young, he doesn't know anything, well, why this father should do all that? This is because he is treated as Lord Mahavishnu, and he is giving dhanam, and whatever dhanam he gives, he should give it as an arpanam, offering to the Lord. So the entire marriage system, if you think, each step has the Vedantic purport in it, so that he gets Chitta Shuddhi. As I mentioned in Karma Yoga earlier, whatever you give, you give it as an offering to the Lord. Anything you do, Ishwara Arpana Buddhi. And when the time, the palam comes, take it as Ishwara Prasadaha. Once we do that, then we will not have any vasanas, raga dveshas. Chitta Shuddhi will come. So the same thing is done here also. He is giving it as an offering to the Lord. And then there is this mantra recited by him. Kanyam Kanaka Sampannam Kanakabarana Bhushitam Dasyami Vishnave Tubhyam Brahmaloka Jikishaya. That is most important thing. So this 10-year-old girl, Kanyaka. So Kanyam Kanaka Sambanna. So she is like, you know, gold. షీస్ నో షీస్ లైక్ గోల్డ్ టు మీ. కనక సంపన్న కనకాభరణ భూషిత, సర్ ఆర్ సింపుల్ వర్డ్స్ వీ కెన్ అండర్స్టాండ్. ద వన్ హూ ఈస్ నో సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ యు నో గోల్డ్ అండ్ ఆర్నమెంట్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్ పుట్ డెకరేటెడ్ హర్, సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్. దాస్యామి విష్ణవే తుభ్యం, తుభ్యం విష్ణవే, టు హూమ్, టు యూ, హూ ఈస్ లైక్ మహావిష్ణు. దాస్యామి, ఐ ఆమ్ గివింగ్ హర్ అవే యాజ్ దానం టు యూ విష్ణవే తుభ్యం. ఫర్ వాట్ డు ఐ గివ్? బ్రహ్మలోక జిగీషయ, సో దాట్ ఐ విల్ గెట్ బ్రహ్మలోక, సో దట్ ఈస్ హిస్, ఐ విల్ గెట్ మోక్ష ప్రాప్తి అండ్ ఆల్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్, బికాస్ దిస్ ఇస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి ది హైయెస్ట్ దానం. సో ఐఎమ్ గివింగ్ దిస్, ఐఎమ్ గివింగ్ ఇట్ యాజ్ ఈశ్వర అర్పణ. So that's what I am going to give. So he is giving all this. This is one mantra. And there is again other mantra. So Vishwambara Sarvabhutaha Sakshinaha Sarvadevata Imam Kanyam Pradasyami Pitrunam Taranayacha. This is another beautiful mantra. Why I am giving her away as in marriage? He is now calling all the devatas. He is not asking any contractor or marriage registrar for witnessing the marriage. He is calling all the devatas. Oh devatas, come and witness this marriage and bless. Oh Vishwambara, Sarvabhuta, Sakshinaha, Sarvadevataha. All the devatas are Sakshi. All these Agni, Varuna, Indra, all these devatas, they are all witness to this marriage. So that's what, in front of all of you, what I do? Imam Kanyam Pradasyami. I give this girl, my daughter, whom I have brought up so nicely all these years with so much of affection and love. I am giving her in marriage to this boy. For what? Pitrunam Taranayacha. For Prajodpatti. So that she can get Dharma Prajas. And once they get Dharma Prajas, then they will be able to do lot of Shraddhadi Karmas for the protection of the ancestors in that family. This father is praying for the protection of the ancestors of that boy's family. Look at the broadness of the thought. For his own son, when he gets married, the girl's father is going to pray. Whether he has a son or not, he has only a girl, let us say. Still he is praying for the protection of the ancestors of the other family. He is giving away his daughter in marriage. That is the magnanimity in the thinking. The Vedic thinking is like that. అండ్ కన్యే మమాగ్రతో భూయాహ, కన్యే మే దేవి పార్శ్వతః, కన్యే మే సర్వతో భూయాహ, త్వద్దానాత్ మోక్షమాప్నుయా. దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ నైస్ మంత్రాస్. ఎ గర్ల్, కమ్ టు మై ఫ్రెండ్, ఏ మమాగ్రతో భూయాహ, కమ్ ఇన్ మై ఫ్రెండ్, స్టాండ్ బై మై సైడ్, స్టాండ్ టు మై లెఫ్ట్ సైడ్, రైట్ సైడ్, అండ్ ఐ ఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు గివ్ యూ అవే ఇన్ మ్యారేజ్ బికాస్ this is for moksha. This process is such a noble process. There will be chitta shuddhi. There will be so many nice things coming out of that, so that this jnana yajna could be done. I can get moksha. And if you follow the injunctions as given in the scriptures and support your family and your husband in performing noble rituals, you will also get chitta shuddhi and you will also become eligible to get moksha, both you and your husband. So that is the intent. So if you follow all these, you will also get this thing. So all these mantras are recited by the father when he gives the daughter away in marriage. And all the gifts, the gold, tambulam, whatever he can, he gives all of them. And there is this, you know, they have this coconut, and then he will put the water on that and the boy will receive. These are all rituals, symbolic. And that one, that is accepting the girl as the danam by the father. Now the boy, you know, he will accept the girl in this thing, and he recites a lot of mantras, and he says, I am not receiving this gift myself, because I may not know how to protect her yet. No, I seek the protection. I seek the devata's help for receiving her, so that they will help me in receiving her properly. Because a girl is coming away to me, trusting me, coming to my family, leaving her family. I should treat her properly. So how much I know to treat her, I don't know yet. So I seek the help of the devatas. So he is now praying to those devatas, to he is praying to the Ashwini devatas, and he is praying to Pusha, and he is also praying to Angiras. So all these devatas he is praying so that they will come and help him receiving this girl properly to his family. And there is another ritual called Madhuparka Pujanam, Puja, where this is done to the boy and they give a mixture of honey and milk. They give a mixture of honey and milk, maybe with some fruit and all. They give it to the husband, to the boy. They give it to her. And the boy, you know, he also knows that, you know, he doesn't deserve all these pujas and all. He knows because he is a young boy. He doesn't, you know, deserve all these pujas, the boy, because he is a learned boy also. The father-in-law is a very elderly person. He is going to do puja to this boy. So he is an elderly person. So, you know, he normally, in the normal circumstances, one should not accept any puja or namaskara mandal from elderly people. So the boy knows that. So if we receive any such thing from an elderly person, then, you know, it will, if punya will not come, you know, it will affect them. So they will fall down spiritually and the punya will deteriorate. It will go away. So people will be afraid when somebody does namaskaram to them. They'll be afraid to receive a namaskaram. Whereas here, for this boy, the girl's father is going to do puja and he will do all the things to him. So he goes on chanting mantras, prayers, so that let me become deserving of this worship. Let me become deserving. Oh, devatas, be with me. So that when the father-in-law is worshipping me with such a prayer and all that thing, I should become deserving to that. So be stand by me. And so he is praying for yashas, varchas, tejas, praja, pashu. Because he wants a lot of cows and cattle. Because he need to do a lot of yajnas. For yajna, you need the cow's milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, everything you need. So you have you need lot of pashu. So he prays for all those things as the Madhuparka Puja is done by the girl's father. So a cow is brought. They bring a cow. These days those things are not happening. But they give a cow symbolically. And the boy is supposed to let that cow go free. Essentially symbolically to communicate that he has to do Gorakshanam as a grahastha. He has to do Gorakshanam. He should protect the cows. Go Brahmane Bhyaha Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu. So all the cows and Brahmanas and all, he is supposed to protect, support them and all. So this Madhuparka Puja symbolically makes the boy to understand these things and also make these special prayers. And then there is next, the next step is called Varaikshanam. And there are further steps also before we go through Vivaha Homas and all that. And we will see details of the further steps from the next webinar so that we may have some time for discussion today. I will close now. We will now start for the any discussions if you have.